sincerely Reese, and this is my podcast. I would have started sooner, but I was sitting on my ass. No, I'm just playing. I'm hella productive, but not in ways everyone finds constructive. Content? I don't know. My real plan is just to go with the flow, you know, and tell my truth about my family, making music, self-care, and who I strive to be. Some people say, you don't talk. That's not true. The truth is, I just don't talk to you. So antisocial? Not really me. I'm just selective with whom I exchange energy. This here is my journey, no longer misunderstood. Welcome to my podcast, kinda hippie, kinda hood. What's up? Thank you for tuning in to my podcast, Kinda Hippie, Kinda Hood, episode 3. Oh, snap. I am your host, Siri Larice. This week, I am throwing it back to 1999. Well, kind of. My mate and I were going through some of our old stuff, deciding what stays and what goes. And for like the thousandth time, you guys, I stumbled upon my high school Letterman coat. Y'all, the pockets still had Laffy Taffy. The pockets still had a Laffy Taffy and Winter Fresh gum wrapper inside. Circa 1999. You guys, I am forever Team Snacks. Team Snacks for life, right? Needless to say, it had me like all the way down memory lane. And like, I suppose you could consider my mate and I minimalist in the fact we only keep belongings we value the most. And most recently, we have decided to even scale down further and only keep items we use regularly. So you can see how holding on to this damn near 20-year-old Sub-Zero winter coat seems a tad ridicle pickle when I don't live in Sub-Zero temperatures. But like, I have so many memories attached to that coat, and trying to decide if it stays or goes is a little weird. And like, I suppose I could make it into like a cool pillowcase or something, but probably not because I don't sew. You know, I started dreaming of that coat from the moment I saw the Hillman Letterman jackets, that dark red, and I think they were like either cream or gray, on A Different World. Man, that was my show. I couldn't wait to have a jacket like that of my own. Like, seriously, I was so stoked about those kinds of coats. And like, I went with the dude's design for mine because at the time I thought it was way more fly than the ladies. And now I would totally sport that cropped cape superhero goodness that the girls' coats had. But back then, I was all about that dude jacket life. Man, A Different World. That was my show. It was wrapping up. I think the show was like finishing production when I was in junior high. And I pretty much thought when I got to junior high, when I got to seventh grade, you guys, I was about to be grown. I was going to be hella grown. I was an adult then. Couldn't tell me nothing. And I don't know about you, but like seventh grade was weird. Like super odd. I was odd. Everybody was around me. Everybody that was around me was odd too. Like puberty in fashion. Oh, just so unkind. So unkind. And really, I think there's like a huge maturity difference between sixth and seventh grade. Like huge. In sixth grade, man, in sixth grade, I lived in Mobile, Alabama. And I only for sixth grade, all the rest of my school experiences, I lived in Davenport. Well, I guess with the exception of preschool. Another podcast. Anyway, in sixth grade, I lived in Mobile, Alabama. And I went to a private Christian school. And I was one of four black kids in the entire school. And I'm talking like Bible Belt. It was really, really tough. It was really rough. But anyway, Mobile, that's going to get its own podcast episode series. But so junior high, so sixth grade, essentially junior high, I was in Alabama. In seventh grade, we moved back to Davenport. And man, seventh grade was the most BS. Oh my gosh, I hated it. And I was grounded all of eighth grade. Also another podcast. So basically, high school seemed like the light at the end of the tunnel for me, when I like might be able to finally live out my best Freddie Brooks life. You know, like I just wanted high school life because that seemed like it was going to be great after junior high. You know, I'm not being modest when I say seventh grade was bullshit. I mean it. I mean, like, okay, y'all, for real. Story time. So I'm a busty gal. Surprise. Have always been, you feel me? And even before the badonk was as redonk as it is, I was busty. So I remember being on a field trip in seventh grade. And we were headed to, like, I think like the local public pool, you know, some weird field trip. And I was always down for a field trip because I was so bored in class, just like hella understimulated. So I was sitting on the bus and two of the popular boys were sitting in front of me. One motherfucker looked like Jonathan Brandis from Sequest. Anywho, I remember Sequest. So I was sitting behind these dudes and I was sitting alone because I preferred it. And bootleg Brandis turns around and was like, "Yo, girl, let me see if I could palm your titty with my hand." You guys. Like, I was so stuck on stupid. I couldn't even, like, honestly, okay, this allegedly popular guy decided to talk to me. And the first interaction he came with was some pervy sexual harassment-y bullshit. Come on, get out of here with that. Ah, what a shame. Ugh. I just stood up and moved to a different seat, by the way. I just shut the fuck up. Like, I so vividly remember trying to make a choice to, like, tell a teacher or tell my mom, but, like, I was scared. And in my house, I wasn't allowed to give out my phone number to boys. I wasn't allowed to date until I was at least 16. Basically, don't share air with boys. So I was scared to say, "Hey, old dude came at me with his hand and words," you know? I mean, I didn't want anything, like, I didn't want anyone to think I invited his BS, you know? Junior high, seventh grade specifically, man. Junior high was also when I discovered a deeper love of the performing arts, especially choir and band. You know, my junior high choir teacher, she was the mother of another student I went to school with who was a couple years older than me. And said student did not like me one bit, y'all. I didn't know she didn't like me until I was in high school, you know, but I really looked up to my junior high choir teacher big time. She was the only Black music educator like I knew, and she was a woman. So I thought, like, doubly dope, right? You know, meh, I didn't really get the vibe. My choir teacher liked me much either. So, like, maybe it ran in the family. Maybe there was a connection. I wish I could tell, like, junior high Siri, who gives a fuck if your teachers don't like you, you know? But I was kind of raised in a time where it seemed like respecting and liking someone were very easily confused. Like, I didn't really know the difference back then. I didn't understand you didn't have to like someone in order to respect them. You know, I don't like a whole bunch of people, but I'm not going to be an asshole to you just because, you know? But, like, back then, I was desperate for my Black educators and my classmates to like me and to fit in. And I was just coming from, having lived in Alabama, I just had so many, like, really weird moments. And so it's kind of hard looking back and thinking of how some of those interactions are the most negative I remember from growing up, you know? So I digress. Junior high was lame sauce. When I got to high school, though, I was stoked. I remember admiring so many upperclassmen that were in the ninth grade and I was seventh grade, and just like these gorgeous kings and queens. It was like I was living my real life different world meets living single high school dreams. It was all coming true, you know? And these kids were, they were slaying the academic game. They were slaying the creative arts. Like, I know they weren't, but they might as well have been holding hands and cross colors, skipping down the hall, singing like Arrested Development songs. Like, I don't know, you guys. I was just coming from like being this little chocolate chip in a sea of milk at this private ass Christian school in Alabama. So, like, being back in Davenport, like in junior high and high school, it seems like all of the diversity in comparison. And I know that sounds crazy because, like, I'm talking about Iowa and I live in Los Angeles, which is this gorgeous melting pot. But, like, Mobile was not without melanin. It was just minimally present where I went to school. So, like, it was really cool for me to be surrounded by people who looked like me, you know? I remember the first time I walked into the orchestra slash band room. Oh man, you guys, there there was this nasty ass couch that sat in the back. We had this top, like this tiered floor. It was stacked up like risers, but concrete. And next to the percussion section, there was this just nasty old, picture the floral couch that everybody had in the 80s. It was like that. This nasty ass old couch next to the percussion area. And man, that couch made me fall in love with the drums, if I'm being honest. I mean, it was nasty. Like the stories that couch could tell, disgusting. But like, it was my first, like, in junior high, I didn't really, I didn't experiment with other instruments. I just stayed in my lane with the clarinet. So when I got to high school, I got to my high school director was very encouraging. And so I picked up percussion and barre sax and things like that. But man, bass, I blame it on the couch, you guys. The whole room in general was amazing. It seriously inspired massive creativity. So there was this class I was in. It was called Orchestra Winds. And the class was essentially the best of concert band students and orchestra students combined. Oh, fucking dope. Oh my gosh. I was so there for it, you guys. I'm still here for it. Oh man. That was the first music setting that I was able to participate in, that had like an abundance of black kids involved doing the damn thing. Like, oh, I was so stoked. And I was scared. I was terrified. I was a freshman amongst mostly juniors and seniors. And this weird, awkward, you know, stuff. I'm awkward now. I was awkward then. So, you know, I was nervous. And these were the kids I looked up to when I was in like 7th grade. I'm finally like in a class with them, you know? So I was pretty thrown off by the vibe that was exchanged and shared with me, once I was in the same space with these kids, and we're closing passing one another in the halls. It was a different vibe than the fairy tale I had dreamed up in my perfect Letterman jacket, Arrested Development, you know, like we're kumbaya homies, you know. There seemed to be a strict no new friends policy. And exceptions weren't being made for me, despite my awesome Payless style, you know, construction boots and my Looney Tunes overalls. I mean, fashionista, make room for me, you know? But y'all, when I sat down in that class, I got mean mugged like a motherfucker, like by all of the people I looked up to big time, one of which being the daughter of my junior high choir teacher, you know, just kind of like mean mugged for being new, and for being there. And just me, you know, with my giant ass glasses and suspicious bangs, you know, I was terrified. Their reaction to me, made a huge impression on me. It immediately made me think, you know, for some reason they thought we were in competition with each other. Should I think are we in competition with each other? You know, they didn't like me. Do I not like them? You know, it was like there wasn't enough room for all of us around here. And that wasn't just an orchestra or band or choir or tennis, you know, it spilled over into friendship as well. And, you know, as I examine my early 20s interactions with other Black women, I definitely had a bit of that mean girl competitive spirit carried with me, you know, from my high school experiences. Like, some of that shit imprinted on me, you know, like I took that with me. If I was an asshole to you in our 20s, my beautiful black sisters, my bad. I sincerely apologize. Because that's fucked up. Y'all, we're a team. You know, this is like team sport business. I was damn near, what, 25 years old, 20 years, I don't know. I was somewhere in my 20s before I fully understood the incredible sisterhood that I'm part of, you know. I had very few black friends in high school. And it was definitely not for having a somewhat diversified school. Because my high school, the melanin was popping. We had shades of brownness all over the delicious spectrum. But honestly, there was student segregation at my school, at sports events, musicals and things. You know, the majority of the black students sat together separately. And there was also a huge divide between academically focused black students and socially focused black students at my school. And I mean, like, socially, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't fit in exclusively to either one of those categories. You know, I just felt hella outside of all of the circles. And looking back, excuse me, I had some very unhealthy friendships in high school. I was definitely the token black friend of the group I rolled with. Ugh, fucking uncomfortable. Like, only sometimes I was uncomfortable then. But now looking back, it's just like, oh, I just think of, like, conversations and things said, and it's weird, you know. You guys, some of my best friends would jokingly say, like, hi, N-word, to me daily. Like, it was a regular greeting. And, you know, I'd respond with whatever my response was, and I let them. Like, they said hi, N-word, with a smile and a giggle, so I shrugged it off. And at the time, I guess it didn't piss me off, but now, though, I'm no longer connected to those quote-unquote friends. You feel me? Because, like, that's fucked up. It's fucked up I let it slide. It's fucked up that, like, literally for years that happened, you know? I don't know. I think in order to get through circumstances like that, I furthered myself deep into the arts, you know? I was able to, oh, man, get this. I was able to customize my school schedule with my high school guidance counselor, who was this proud, strong black woman. Man, we sat down and looked at my class list. And basically, I only wanted to take extracurricular classes during my school day. Like, what kind? I probably heard it, you know, like learned about it watching Blossom or something. But, like, I was all about that independent study life. I still am. You know, part of the reason I homeschool is because of the freedom it allows my son to absorb knowledge all of the time. Like, you can't just learn in the classroom. Everyone's classroom. Anyway, I just wanted, you know, to take extracurricular activities during my school day. And it wasn't like I just wanted to, but I was so heavily involved in the arts that I had so many extracurricular activities that, if allowed, they would have taken up the entirety of my class schedule. Because I was in marching band, jazz band, orchestra, dance, concert choir, show choir. So I was just trying to, like, play and sing nonstop. You know, it was therapy, it was fun, it was social, it was an outlet. But, like, man, the arts are dope. So my counselor was super real with me, and she explained what I'd have to do, and she hooked me the fuck up, you guys. I gotta tell you, I was terrified of this woman. Her son was a classmate of mine, and we totally crushed on each other, and I was just so afraid of her. And she was scary to me because, like, there didn't seem to be much gentleness about her, but damn, she was so wise. Oh, she was so wise. She was so intelligent and inspiring. And, you know, I got the impression from her to never walk into a room not knowing as much as the nearest person, especially the nearest white person. She never said it, but it was very implied. You know, she was so focused on students succeeding. That's what's up. Shout out to my high school guidance counselor, Mrs. C. Thank you. Anyway, she helped me tailor my schedule so I could keep my extracurricular classes, with the exception of, like, I kept, like, math, Spanish, and science, you know, throughout the school year for balance. So, actually, to balance that out, me and several of my close homies who were active in the arts took summer school for the majority of our required curriculum. Oh my gosh, it was so cool. Seriously, that system saved me. Like, the classes were mixed with students from other high schools. So I got to see friends from elementary that I hadn't, you know, shared a classroom with in ages. And I made so many new friendships in those classes that have lasted a lifetime. Like, some of my closest friends still to this day are people who went to different high schools. And I got to experience summer school with them, and we've been friends ever since. So basically, I did year-round school for 9th, 10th, 11th grade, you know, and I took driver's ed and speech and so many classes. Oh, it was really cool. It allowed me to focus on performing arts during the school year and knock out the stuff that was required in a very limited amount of time, you know. I was actually well out of high school before I realized I did have a lot of downtime, you know, throughout high school. I didn't really care that I didn't have a summer break away from school you know. But somehow, like, I guess as I'm entering into old womanness, I'm remembering, like, my life is easy breezy, you know, during those years. Something I rather would have not experienced. And I had plenty of circumstances, especially my freshman year, where I didn't feel like I fit in, you know, and I was so uncomfortable. And I definitely was I was in a get in where you fit in type of place. I was friends with people that were easy to be friends with because I just wanted to be accepted, I guess. And I had a lot of friends. Like, now I don't know if that's what I would call them. But back then, yes, I definitely, you know, I had a lot of friends. But as time progresses, friendships change. And my thought process of how I handled things back then to now is, man, it's much different, you know. Which, Scooch, brings me back to my Letterman coat. It's really weird to let go of something that seems to be an important material piece of my journey, you know? I had all these ideas and memories that would be made in that jacket, you know, like ideas of memories that would be made in that jacket, you know? And though the fun definitely outweigh the negative stuff, you know, all those marching band games with that coat on and things, I don't know. I guess it turns out the coat doesn't really hold a treasure trove of beautiful reminiscing. You know, it actually reminds me more of an insecure, like, people-pleasing youngster that I used to be. And I find it really interesting how we're able to have emotional attachment to material things. You know, all these years I held onto this coat, honestly, without giving it any real thought as to why I kept it around, besides, like, I can actually hear my mom telling me, like, she paid like $95 for this coat and I better not lose it. You know what I mean? Like, I have not lost the coat. I still have it, you know? But, like, I've kept it around without even knowing why I've kept it around. Like, I've lived in tropical climate almost all of the years I've had it, you know? I think I'm really looking forward to donating it and for someone else to make memories with it. You know, I'm doubly looking forward to letting go of the emotional baggage that accompanied wearing it, that honestly, until pulling it out, I didn't even know I felt so many of these things, or I even remembered experiencing so many of those things. And I'm very, very gracious for you sticking around and listening, you know, as I vent about my high school coat. Tell me, like, do you guys have items that you're emotionally attached to that you've kept around for years that you don't use? Like, because it's something taking up space, you know, for what? Like, I would love to hear your stories if you do. You're welcome to share with me. If you want, you can email me at SiriLariseMusic@gmail.com. You can share how you've let go of the past in order to better your future, if you'd like. That could be fun. Until next time, I'm Siri Reese. Thank you for tuning in to Kinda Hippie, Kinda Hood.